Hey kids, what's happening? Welcome to the How to Be Awesome podcast. This is episode 61. Louise, how the heck are you?
I am actually really tired. It's the waning moon. It's like the very, it's the new moon tomorrow. We're right at that tail end of the moon energy. There's been a lot.
She's giving you nothing.
I'm fucking done. I have had quite a lot of goings on, which we will talk about later in the podcast. And I feel like last night it was just like it all hit me. I've been like on for quite a while, and there's been lots of exciting things happening and lots of nerves and things like that. And I think last night, like, things have all kind of like come to a peak. And I think last night I was just like, oh my God, I'm so tired. So yeah, I'm feeling quite tired today, but not like an emotionally drained tired, just like an end of the moon cycle tired. I'm ready to rest up and get things moving for the next moon cycle. It's also Leo season. I don't have any Leo in my chart, really. So it can be a lot. Yeah, it's a lot of energy, which I'm really thriving off. It's really helping me just now, but also it's, you know, maybe I need to take a step back from the Leo energy for a little moment and just chill out. How are you today?
Spend some time in a dark room.
Yes. How are you
today?
Too
much sun.
I know.
I'm good. I'm also a bit tired. We have been up late many days the past few weeks.
When you say late, how late are we talking?
10:30.
Yes.
Considering that I usually, like, if an episode of a TV show we're watching ends at 8:45, I'm like, let's just stop there.
Yeah, you're like,
so that I can get ready for bed and start reading.
If you haven't started watching something by 8 p.m., you're not, that's not happening. Yep.
So we've been watching a lot of football recently. Mm-hmm. We've been watching the Women's Euros. My husband is an England supporter, and England were favorites, and they are now about to be in the final by the time you guys hear this. Not that any of our listeners care, but you will already know who has won. But yeah, haven't been getting as much sleep as usual. So if I'm not making any sense, that's why.
Yeah. What delicious things are you eating this week?
I've got a super spicy flame burger coming at you.
Ooh.
So you might not like it, but I made this like with my husband in mind and trying to add in layers of spiciness everywhere I could. So the burger itself has just got like a shit ton of cayenne pepper. Along with salt and pepper and a few other seasonings. But I made my own chili mayo.
Right. Yep.
Quite simply by adding some roughly chopped jalapenos to my food processor. I think it was a mix of red and green jalapenos. And then blitzing those up and then mixing it with mayonnaise. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much all there is to it. But you're getting all the essential oils from... Because I didn't de-seed the chilies before I put them in.
Yep. Spicy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was pretty hot.
Yeah.
And then... I think also on his, but not on mine. So I went with some layers. We have right now in our refrigerator, like scorpion pepper hot sauce.
That sounds terrifying.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. So I put a tiny bit of that in there for him as well. I used a cheddar it was a red Leicester with chilies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I also, when I toasted the buns, I brushed them with chili oil.
There is so much freaking chili in this part.
Yeah.
That's intense. Yeah, yeah. Did your husband like it?
Yeah, he did. This is for people who like to cry while they're eating.
Yeah, my husband would love that. He's the type of person that will order like the most spicy thing and then be like, that was not spicy enough.
Mm-hmm. So that's on the blog this week. Another cheeseburger because it's my favorite food. You can't stop me.
Can't stop, won't stop.
What are you eating this week?
I'm going to talk to you about a restaurant that I went to at the weekend. So if you live in the UK, you might have heard of this restaurant. If you live in Glasgow, you probably definitely have heard of it. It's called Six by Nico.
Very fancy.
So, yeah. Well, we'll talk about that in a little minute. So Nico is a Glasgow lad. He used to have a restaurant, I want to say Clevedon Road, in the west end of Glasgow. So he had his first restaurant called 111 by Nico. I don't know if it's his first ever restaurant, but it's the one that he got most popular with, and it's in the west end of Glasgow. And then he opened his first Six by Nico further into the west end in Glasgow. So the concept at Six by Nico is that every 6 weeks they bring out a new 6-course tasting menu, mm-hmm. and all the dishes are centered around a theme. So mm-hmm. just now, the theme is called Cooking Hanoi. So mm-hmm. obviously, it's Vietnamese food.
Yeah, which you love.
You know how I feel about Vietnamese food. Mm-hmm. So when I saw this, I was like, I really want to go. I went to Six by Nico 3 or 4 years ago now, like pre-COVID. Loved it. Thought it was great. It's not the type of place that you're going to go every weekend. It is kind of more of a like once in a while special occasion type thing. But I was like, I really want to go there. It's not the type of restaurant that my husband would really be interested in going to. So I'd said to my friend who's really into food as well, I was like, do you want to go to Six by Nico with me? And she was like, absolutely, let's do it. So you get 6 courses. So there's, you know, 5 savory courses and then a dessert course at the end. And it's all like kind of smaller portions, tasting plates. But I think personally, for what you get, it's actually really reasonably priced. Mm-hmm. So it's now, it used to be slightly cheaper, but obviously inflation.
Nothing is as cheap as it used to be.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like they've got to pay more money for their ingredients. They have to charge us more money. So for 6 courses, it's £37.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, like that's not unreasonable for what you're getting. And it is fancy, but when you're there, I've never felt uncomfortable in the restaurant. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never felt out of place. The staff are really, really lovely. They explain everything to you as well. So they every time a dish is brought out to you, they explain exactly what is on the plate to you. Because it's obviously, like, fancier food than you might normally eat. And it might mm-hmm. be ingredients that you've never had before. They're really, really good at explaining stuff to you. The dishes are really well paced as well. Like, they're not like taking your last course away and sticking your new one in front of you. There's like a little bit of time, which is really good. You can talk about the course. It also just gives like time for the food to settle as well. And you don't feel like you're being rushed out the door, like to get the mm-hmm. 6 courses done and out. I thought it was really, really good. Nico's really taken off. He now has 6 by Nico restaurants all across the UK, in Belfast, in Aberdeen.
I didn't know that.
Manchester, potentially Liverpool, I could be wrong. And also, I was talking about his restaurant 111 by Nico.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't own that restaurant anymore. He gave it to his head chef. So his head chef, I think, had come over here, kind of immigrated here as a child, you know, worked his way up, started as a kitchen porter in his restaurant mm-hmm. and worked his way up to become the head chef. And a few years ago, I think just pre-COVID or just after COVID, no, it must have been pre-COVID, they mm-hmm. gifted him the restaurant. Mm-hmm.
Which probably seemed like a super nice gesture at the time, and he was really excited, pre-COVID. And then they had to shut down because of a pandemic.
But, you know, they actually do a menu called Trust, which mm-hmm. is instead of specific dishes, when you go in, each course has 3 options. So say course 1 will give you the options of prawn, cod, mushroom, and you mm-hmm. pick one of those ingredients, and they bring you a dish where that ingredient is the main
mm-hmm.
focus of the dish, but you don't know what you're going to get. You tell them like what you're allergic to, all that sort of stuff, and they bring mm-hmm. you like a dish. So I just thought the whole experience was just really, really lovely. I felt that, like, you know, for Glasgow, a restaurant of that kind of type and caliber, but at that price point, is not pricing people out of being able to actually access.
I would have expected it to be a lot more expensive.
Yeah, you really would. I think he is very aware, you know, he's from Glasgow himself, mm-hmm. that of what, you know, the kind of local needs are and stuff like that. So yeah, I like to support local businesses, and he's doing really well for himself, mm-hmm. and he should be, because the standard was excellent.
Fantastic. What an inspiring entrepreneur.
I know. Maybe he'll come on the podcast and talk to us about it one time.
I bet he won't.
He might. You never know.
You never know. Reach
for the stars, Renee.
Then I'd be like, how do you feel about cheeseburgers?
Yeah. And what is your order from Five Guys? Yeah. Maybe we'll reach for the stars and ask Nico to come on our podcast.
You never know.
Yeah. So, Renee,
mm-hmm.
you have introduced me to something mm-hmm. that has, as of last night, revolutionized my life.
You're so excited. It's adorable.
I'm so excited. What are we talking about today?
We're talking this week about human design.
Yep.
Now, I have to admit, I'm a little bit nervous to talk about human design because it is very complicated, and I have not been studying it for that long. So this is very much an introductory overview. We will probably have way more questions than answers.
Yep.
And we can definitely come back and revisit this at another time once we have learned more about it. And if any of you are like, what the fork is human design? I'm going to tell you how it started, and then you're going to say, this sounds like a cult.
Oh, I actually, this is the thing, right? Total, like, being upfront with everyone, I know nothing about human design other than what Renee has told me and the app that I downloaded last night, so the night before we recorded this. But I'm, like, already hooked. But there's so much stuff, like, I'm looking at, we're going to talk about it, I'm looking at my wee chart, and I don't have a fucking clue what it means, but I'm just, like, so interested.
Yeah, the chart is really complicated. It's really overwhelming. Human design is a mashup of a bunch of different systems. So I have a book on my Kindle, which was like 89p. So I'll definitely put a link in the show notes. It's called Understanding Human Design. It's like your birth chart on steroids.
Yeah.
Right? If you pull up your natal chart and you're like, whoa, that's a lot. This is way more.
Yeah.
So it is a synthesis of astrology, the I Ching, Kabbalah, chakras, and quantum physics.
I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually just noticed when you were saying that there that I'm looking at my little design and I touched a bit of it and I was like, oh, those are all the chakras. I never even noticed that before. I'm learning just as much as the listeners of this podcast are.
And so it gets weirder. So this whole system came about when this dude called Robert Allen Krakauer was hanging out in Ibiza.
As you do, yeah.
I don't know if he was like on vacation or I don't know what he was doing there.
Potentially taking
hallucinogenic drugs. He was there in January of 1987.
I wouldn't imagine the best time to go away. Ibiza, but
anyway, a voice told him that this system was crucial to helping people on the planet make vital shifts in consciousness for the evolution of mankind. And he came up with this system of, he like channeled this system of that we now know of as human design. It goes on to say, Krakauer emerged from this experience a changed man, and soon after he changed his name to Ra-Uru-Hu.
Okay.
It sounds like a cult.
You can totally edit this out, but how high was that guy when this happened? I don't want to like shit on anybody's beliefs or who's communicating with them, but I get why you would think that it sounds wild AF.
Yeah. So I don't know much more of the story than that. That, you know, I knew that it was channeled by this guy and he just like received this download and wrote all this stuff and then changed his name, but I don't know much more about the actual story of what happened with him. But yeah, if you told your mom about it, she'd be like, are you okay? And I would think, if you just hear that part, it sounds crazy, except everybody I know who has looked into their human design chart or received a reading has said that they have felt more seen than they ever have in their whole life.
We're going to talk about a couple of parts specifically that I want to talk about, because I'm just like, like, I was lying in my bed last night, just, like, staring at the ceiling. Like, that's what? I never even realized that about myself until... Mm-hmm. And then you're like, but that is absolutely 100% true.
Yeah, and I was reading up on your chart last night, and I was like, oh, this is going to really resonate with some experiences that she's been having recently.
Yeah, I was reading yours, and I was like, uh-huh, yes, yes. I was actually just talking about the food bit with my friend earlier today, and I was reading yours as an example, like, in contrast to mine, and I was like, yep. That makes total sense for Renee.
Yeah. So human design tells you all kinds of things about yourself. Mm-hmm. It talks about your energy type, right? Like the way that you are, the type of energy that you have and that you express in the world, your personality, your life purpose. You mentioned like what kind of food and how you should eat, how you should make decisions. There's so much going on. So the app we use is called My Human Design. There's some stuff that you can look at on there for free, but it's the chart, like I said, is super complicated. So I would recommend paying for like 1 month and canceling it like straight away and reading up as much as you can. And then if you want to go back later, like resubscribe. I don't necessarily think it's something that you would want to pay for every single month, but I do think it's worth it to pay for it at least one time to be able to read up on your chart. So I paid for it initially when I first downloaded it and then canceled and then paid again to re-research for this. Also, you can listen to all of the stuff on your chart read by this woman. I think she's called Jenna something. I can't remember. And she's got this really lovely English accent, so that makes it nice too.
I was listening to them in the bath last night.
She's very soothing and comforting. there's a ton of stuff. You can go, there's a bunch of people who do in-depth human design reading, so they'll meet up with you and go into all the details on your chart, and it costs a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a lot of information, so I can understand why they charge that much, because they probably had to spend hours and hours and hours studying this.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would imagine to be, like, similarly to astrology, to be, like, an expert or very mm-hmm. knowledgeable in this subject, you would need to spend a long time getting to grips with all the different...
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what it is that they use to work this shit out. There's a whole bunch of numbers and stuff, and I don't know what that means. Various numbers are coloured in differently, and I don't, like, it says on the bit how to read your chart.
Mm-hmm.
Your chart is like a map of your energy. Each coloured place shows a skill or gift you naturally or inherently possess that you chose to have because it's exactly what you needed to become your highest self. The basic structure of the chart is the same for everyone, but the areas that are coloured versus white are different in all of us. So, like, if I look at my chart, some of the numbers are white and some of them mm-hmm. are coloured, which means I'm assuming yep. that the coloured ones are the things I'm good at. And then
not necessarily. So there's, from what I've read in this book, and again, somebody is going to be listening to this who knows about it, and they're going to be like, you're wrong.
Well, you need but to come on the podcast and talk yeah. to us about it.
We did ask if yeah. anybody wanted to come on, and nobody did. So now I'm figuring it out by myself. Yeah, so there's like 9 different energy centers, and whether those are colored in or not, is whether or not those centers are defined or open for you. And if they are open, that means like you don't really have kind of much control over them. Like you just take in
right.
information and energy in that chart. And then there's like 64 different gates and they all mean something. And then there's a bunch of different lines that connect all of the gates or all of the centers, and they all mean something, whether they're lit up or not. Right. So there's 9 centers. And there are different types of centers. There are all these channels. That's the different lines. There's 64 gates that, like, apparently align with the hexagrams of the I Ching. And then, it doesn't even show it in this app, but other charts will also have these lines down the side that are a bunch of numbers that are related to your astrological chart and line up with your, like, the planetary alignment of not only the moment that you were born, but also your unconscious self that is about where the stars were about 3 months before you were born. So, like, once you like, in the womb, develop to a certain stage. And then those all have numbers, and that's how you get the things like you're a 3-5 and I'm a 4-6 and you're a right angle cross of contagion and I'm a right angle cross of Eden, and like it's super complicated. And everything I just said was really boring, but that's how hard it is to read.
Yeah, like, I feel like I'm just sitting here blinking at you because I'm like, I just read the chart. I just read the information they give me about the chart. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would ever be able to actually... The fact that it contains numbers puts me off as well. Anything that's to do with maths, I'm like, ugh.
I don't think you need to calculate anything with the numbers. I think the numbers line up somehow with the gates on the chart.
Right. Yeah.
Those little numbers that are inside the shapes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Those go together.
And then the lines that are coloured in, the gates are also coloured in.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I still don't know what any of that means, but...
It's fine.
Yeah. The app is really good because it tells you what you need to know. Mm-hmm. It shows you the diagram. You can look at it till you're blue in the face. You potentially won't understand it. Underneath that, it tells you all of the important bits of information that you mm-hmm. need to know.
Yeah. So there is an ocean of information mm-hmm. to dig into.
Yeah.
So I've just rambled a whole bunch. I'm going to shut up now and let you talk.
Yeah, I was really interested in it. So when you were saying about how everyone that you know that's done it has been like, oh my God, that's so true. It's a bit like when I did my like natal chart and I was like, fuck, that's who I am as a person, like written on that page. That's exactly what happened last night. Like everything that I was reading, I was like, uh-huh, uh-huh. Like there's nothing in my... Nothing. There's some things, and I find most people will always find something in their like natal chart that they're like, maybe not. There's nothing in this that I'm like, no, that's not true. There mm-hmm. was a couple of things that I looked at when you read the first like the little headline type thing, and you're just mm-hmm. like, I'm not sure. Like, so, like, I'm a 3-5, the great life experimenter. I don't know what that means. So I was like, am I? But then when I read it, I was like, yeah, that makes sense, actually. And, like, everything else. So, like, I got, in terms of my energy type, I got generator.
Mm-hmm.
Where it says, the starting point in human design is your energy type. We're all built to function differently with different skills and different ways our energy works. And when we align with that, rather than doing things the way the world tells us we need to do things, we create success and happiness with so much more ease. And it's more enjoyable because it's the way our souls actually crave doing life. Your energy type tells you how you're built to operate, and it's arguably the most important aspect of your design.
Yeah, I think if you're only going to look at one thing in your human design, your energy type is the best place to start.
Yeah. I don't know what all the different energy types are. I know what you are and I know what I am. I don't know so, any other ones.
And together we cover like 70% of humanity.
Oh, do we?
I think most people are either generators or manifesting generators, which is what I am.
Yeah.
And I got to say, this is me telling you what a terrible person I am. When I was like, oh, that's one of the most popular types. This is bullshit. I don't want to know about it. Because I like to be different, but that's because I'm a monster.
There's probably something about that in your human design chart that tells you why you like to be different. But
there's also, you're a generator. I'm a manifesting generator. So can you guess what one of the other ones is?
No.
A manifester.
Oh, yeah. So, right, you're kind of like the middle ground between manifestors and generators.
Mm-hmm. Ah. Yeah, so manifestors, from what I recall, are very, like, their job is to initiate and to create.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really good at, like, starting projects and coming up with ideas and getting things going. Like, they don't need any outside stimuli.
Mm-hmm.
You'll notice that for both of us, our strategy is to respond.
Yep.
And I don't know what the specific terminology is for a manifestor strategy, but they don't need to respond to stuff. They can just take action.
Right. As I was saying, I got a generator. So it says, a generator's purpose is to create good energy in the world. As the name suggests, you're here to generate energy. Whenever you do something that makes you happy, excited, and lit up, you create so much good energy that it literally spills out of you and into everyone around you. Being lit up is your highest calling because you're happy and excited. It inspires, fuels, and lifts everyone else up around you without you even trying. And I read that and I was like, yeah, that's absolutely correct. Like, and we'll talk a wee bit about this later on in the podcast when I come to my what's making me feel awesome. But like, as you said recently, that's something that I've realized that I need to be doing something that makes me feel good.
Yeah.
And that's when good things start to happen for me, when I'm feeling like that.
Yeah. The next thing down on the chart is your authority.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's emotional intuition, but if I remember, yours is gut instinct.
Yep. Gut intuition. And
when I read the description of that, it reminded me of a conversation we had just had like 2 hours prior.
Yeah, we literally had a conversation about an opportunity that presented itself to me, and that feeling that I got. And when I think about it, that feeling did start in like my gut, and it like spread through my whole body. There was like almost like a pull in my gut as though I was being pulled towards this thing. That's what it says. When life sends you something it wants you to do, you'll feel a rush of excitement through your whole body. This is your cue to say yes to it and pursue it. These visceral, physical pulls that you feel towards things are the universe's way of showing you that those things are the right decision. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly like. And I think, again, just because of things that have happened to me recently, I'm becoming, we talked about this again yesterday, becoming more self-aware and like tuning into these cues. And I think that's why as well, because it says the gut is black and white. It doesn't know maybe. You either feel yes, or if you don't feel yes, then you're not supposed to do it. So there isn't really, like, I don't really deal in maybes. It's either a yes or it's a no, like, which is really interesting because when I think about it, that is true. If I feel a bit unsure about something, it's probably because I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Or I'm not into it, like, as opposed to, like, if I'm like, yeah, I definitely want to do that, then that's how I know it's the thing that I want to do.
And I think that's what can be so valuable about systems like this or astrology or even like Myers-Briggs. Like, it kind of gives you permission to be more yourself.
Yeah, I think even if you don't believe in astrology, if you don't believe in terms of, like, you know, horoscopes, or if you don't believe in human design and chakras and all of these things, sometimes even just reading about these things, it makes you reflect on yourself mm-hmm. a little bit. And I don't see that how that can ever be a bad thing, to kind of do a little bit of self-reflection and maybe a little bit of self-development, and like self-discovery is always good. Even if it makes you go, no, actually, I don't think like that. It, you might figure out how you do think. Mm-hmm. So I don't see that how that could be like a bad thing at all.
Yeah, totally. We mentioned I'm a manifesting generator, and I think I've talked on here before about what that means. Mm-hmm. And basically, it explains why I have to do 500 things all at once and why I majored in English education and dance when I was in college, because I like to do things that don't go together. there's also a projector. Yep. So the projectors are quite insightful and intuitive. They help focus energy to accomplish great things. They're good at managing and directing others.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they take on quite a lot of other people's energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get tired really easily.
Yeah. So the person that's a projector would be a good manager mm-hmm. to have, but would potentially not enjoy being a manager, because they would enjoy it, but they would need a lot of
short bursts.
Yeah, they would need a lot of rest and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I'm just giving a super quick overview. The last type, which only 1% of humanity is, which I think is a good thing when I went to read on about this, is the reflector.
Okay.
So remember we talked about all those different shapes, the channels?
Mm-hmm.
On your chart that like overlay this kind of body symbol, and you some are colored and some are not, and mm-hmm. if they're not colored, that means that they are open or undefined.
Yeah.
And reflectors have all undefined or open channels.
Oh.
So these are the like highly sensitive people who are constantly taking on other people's energy because they can't really generate any direction of their own. They're just like a sponge for everything around them. So if they're in a good environment and mm-hmm. surrounded by happy people with good energy, then they're going to thrive. But if they're in a negative environment, they don't really have the resources to kind of overcome that their own.
Mm-hmm.
They also their energy sort of follows lunar cycles.
Okay.
So the main instruction for them is to wait 28 days before they make any decisions.
Fair enough, yeah. Not always practical, but make sure that you're making the decision at the right time. I'm mm-hmm. pretty sure there was something in your chart about not making decisions straight away, was there not? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I didn't have to wait 28 days.
No, I think yours was like
24 hours.
Yeah, I was going to say, sleep on it type thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my authority is emotional intuition, which I think is in the solar plexus, which is interesting because when I feel really lit up, I get kind of a buzzing in my solar plexus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about like how you feel about something. And when I read yours, I was like, I kind of wish I had that one because it's a little more obvious.
Yeah.
And you can't make decisions if you're like in a really like super good mood or really, really, really low mood, because mm-hmm. you won't be able to get the right information. I'm also, if you go down at the bottom, we're opposites on this, and it talks about how you feel things. Mm-hmm. You're non-emotional and I'm emotional.
I want to talk to you about this.
Okay. She describes that for emotionals as sort of having like music playing in the background.
Mm-hmm.
So your moods and your emotions are, they just kind of exist on their own, and they're not necessarily not that there's no influence of what's going on around you, but you could be feel really happy for no reason or feel really sad for no reason. And that's just kind of the playlist that the universe has sent you that day. That's mm-hmm. the feeling that's playing in the background of your life, regardless of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. How did you connect with that when you saw that?
I've found it kind of cryptic.
Mm-hmm.
She also talks about how all resources talk about how we're not really trained to tune into this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like I identify as a very logical person.
Mm-hmm.
And this is telling me to be less logical.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if, like, you know, that's just external sort of social conditioning that, you know, has taught me to not trust my feelings. I feel like my emotions have definitely been more volatile in the past, and I think they're pretty steady now, but I don't know. I felt unsure about it.
Yeah, because when I was reading your chart about it and that idea that you can just, like, because obviously we are the opposite of each other, the fact that you're just, like, you know, you wake up one morning and you might just feel sad. I suppose as a society, you're right. We don't really, like, you just have to get up and deal with it, whether you feel sad or not. We don't really have society set up for people to, like, feel their emotions. Like, you know, I think it's in Australia, potentially, they have, like, duvet days, which means that, like, you know, if you just wake up one day and you just don't feel like going to work, you can take a duvet day. You only get, like, a certain amount per year, so you can't do it every Friday. But, like,
yeah.
but, like, you know, starting to maybe, like, move towards that process of, you know, honouring people's emotions. Mm-hmm. When I read my emotional bit, when I just read that I was non-emotional, I was like, that's not true.
Yeah.
That's not true at all. And then when I read it, this is what kept me, like, lying in bed staring at the ceiling last night, because I was like, this is absolutely correct. So basically, being non-emotional means that I'm just kind of even most of the times. I don't really have an overarching emotion at any one time, which I've never really thought about, but it's actually true. Like, I just kind of am most of the time. And it made me think about how when we talked the other week about me being an anxious person, and you were like, can you reframe that? And I actually was like, I'm not an anxious person. I just have things in my life that cause me anxiety. And then it goes on to explain that non-emotionals are experts at picking up at what other people feel, which I think I am really good at. It's part of the reason that I want to go into counselling, because I'm good at listening to other people talk about their feelings, because I don't have these background emotions going on. So I'm just, like, quite calm. I can feel when other people aren't, or when their emotions are, you know, either really, like, you're in a really good mood today, or you seem kind of off today. Is everything okay? I'm good at picking this up, which is probably why I ask my husband, like, 25 times a day, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you mad at me? Are you okay? Because I'm obviously picking up that he's feeling something. It's got nothing to do with me, but, like, that there's some kind of emotion there.
Have you looked at his chart yet?
I haven't. I might do that tonight. But one of the things that it pointed out, because I was like, I am a really emotional person. Like, I cry at television adverts. Like, I'm that guy.
Yeah, because you're emotionally manipulated by outside
this
stimulus.
This is what it says. Like, often non-emotionals either pick up everything and take it on themselves, or they shut everything off, which I can also do as well. So I either get called too emotional because I get attached to feelings that come from the outside world, and I mistake those feelings as being my own. So I can come across as actually being very emotional, because when I'm, like, watching a film, I am taking on the emotion that that person feels. It's not my own emotion. I'm not sad that the lady in the Renault advert, or I'm not super happy because I've found my long lost love, like the lady in the Renault advert or the Kia advert or whatever it was that used to make me cry all the time. I'm not actually feeling the emotions that person is feeling. I just am able to, like, empathize with other people quite strongly. So I read this last night. And then also the opposite is that sometimes I'm not emotional enough, and I actually worry about that sometimes, where there's things that happen and I'm like, I appear to be dealing with this really, really well. Why am I not as emotional about this as I thought I was going to be? Or I can come across as, I'm also a Scorpio rising, I can come across as potentially a bit kind of, like, cool and standoffish towards people, because I don't actually have any emotions. Like, that's not true. I do. That's not what the point is. But I was like, what? This totally blew my mind last night. Honestly, I was like, that is 100% true. And I've sat all day today being like, how do I feel right in this moment? And most of the time I'm just like, literally fine. Like, just, I don't have any particularly strong emotions in this actual moment. Which is really weird. And I've never noticed that about myself before.
And now you're going to never not notice
it. Yeah, now I don't know what to do with myself. Like, yeah. So there's so many things like in this chart that have been like tying in for me with things like, you know, I've signed up to do that diploma in counselling.
Mm-hmm.
My life theme, which you talked about earlier on, is the right angle cross of contagion 2, which is 8/14.
Yeah, and then, which kind of sounds like a horror movie, just saying.
It does, yep. But it says like the purpose in life, or what I came to accomplish in this life, is to connect people to tools, products, and services that will benefit them.
Mm-hmm.
Which, when I think about some of the opportunities that I am about to embark on, that's exactly what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah, totally.
I'm not going to be like solving the problem for them. I'm going to be giving them the resources mm-hmm. to do that for themselves.
Yeah.
And that feels exactly like what I'm supposed to be doing right now.
I felt like, I'm such a brat, your chart was more like, felt, and maybe this is just because it's coming from an outside perspective, mm-hmm. but like your chart felt more straightforward and easy to understand than mine.
Right.
Mine's like, you're just going to kind of feel a thing. And then, you know, like my life theme is Right Angle Cross of Eden 4. And it says to remind us of all that is good and beautiful about this world,
mm-hmm.
which is lovely. But I'm like, how?
Yeah. What does that mean? Yeah. Yeah. But then when I, again, because I'm coming from an outsider's perspective,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of, we know each other very well at this point. But like, I would say a lot of the projects you're working on just now are designed to show people how good life can be.
Mm-hmm.
And like, to, you always say the most powerful magic is love, and that's the place that you move from. So everything you're doing is putting that across to the world. Yours sounds like a hymn, like a Christian,
yep.
a song you might sing at Sunday school, the Right yeah. Angle Cross of Eden 4.
And like a big thing with manifesting generators as well is like, you have to blaze your own path, and you're not here to do things the way that other people have done them. You're here mm-hmm. to show people a new way to do things, which is not very helpful when you're trying to figure out how to do things.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to embrace it and keep on, you know, let that give me permission to do things my own way.
Yeah.
There's also a bit that is on the My Human Design website when you look up your chart. So it doesn't give you very much information about your chart on the website. You really have to go to the app to get the details. But there's a section that shows up on there that's not on the app. And I need to dig around and find out more information about it. And it's called Your Environment.
Okay, yeah.
And this really stuck with me because mine was the kitchen.
Well, well, well.
Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily a literal kitchen, but it's like, you know, a space of creation and nourishing and things mm-hmm. like that. But obviously, I also literally spend a lot of time in my kitchen.
Yeah, I need to look that up and see what mine says, actually. Yeah, I thought, because there's a bit that tells you, as we talked about, your digestion, and yours is closed
mm-hmm.
taste. Mm-hmm. So like, basically, you're quite happy to eat the same things over and over again, like on mm-hmm. repeat, and you don't have to, like, you're not like a person who wants to necessarily eat at specific times and stuff. And I was like, that is very you.
Yeah.
like you know what you like
mm-hmm.
and you like stick to it. And I thought, I read that and I was like, that is so Renee. Whereas mine is indirect light, which I thought was weird at first. Like basically eating in the middle of the day outside is not going to be good for me. I'm not supposed to eat big meals during the day, which was really interesting because when I went to Six by Nico at the weekend, it was for lunch. And then at nighttime, I didn't really know what to do
mm-hmm.
because I wasn't hungry.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously my body is telling me that it's getting dark and it's time to eat something. But, you know, I try and follow intuitive eating practices, so I shouldn't mm-hmm. be eating if I'm not hungry, but also...
Yeah, it's are dark. You going to be starving at midnight? Yeah.
Well, that's it. Like, what if I'm hungry later? Yeah. So I thought that was really interesting, actually. So, like, I'm supposed to eat kind of lightly through the day and then, like, have a big meal later on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it made me feel very justified in not wanting to try new foods.
Yeah, I was like, that's Renee's Five Guys, like, written down on a piece of paper, essentially. Like, because I was saying that to my friend today. I was like, Renee would not enjoy Six by Nico. She just wouldn't.
Not
but
my
she
kind
would
of thing.
Eat at Five Guys every single day of the week.
I really appreciate that it exists. I would love to go there and observe it. I love everything about food. I've watched, not so much anymore, but I used to watch tons and tons of food TV.
Mm-hmm.
I used to watch like Top Chef on Bravo all the time. Like, I'm interested in fine dining theoretically.
Yeah.
I just don't actually want to eat it.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. And that, and you, that's why, because you are a closed person.
Something.
Not closed. Yeah. Was it closed? Closed.
I'm totally taste. Closed person.
Yeah. There's that closed book.
Yeah, closed taste.
Yep. Closed taste. I love it. So this has been like so interesting for me. I'm definitely going to like read more about it. I might download that book that you were talking about because it sounds really good.
I'll just send you the link, but also I'll put a link in the show notes for the book that I've been reading. I was only like 28% of the way through, so still a ton of stuff to learn. There's tons of books on it, so you can, you know, read multiple different resources. You can read the book by the actual guy, Robert, whatever he was called, who changed his name and sounds like he's a cult leader. He's probably not a cult leader. I'm sure he's a very nice man. But anyway, there's lots of books out there, but the one I got was super cheap on Kindle. So that's where I started. And we'll also put a link in the show notes to the My Human Design app. And you can follow them on Instagram as well. And they always give a lot of good tips. And if you're super into it and want to learn more and become a reader, they have courses to become a reader as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's so cool. Well, thank you for introducing me to Human Design, Renee.
You're welcome. I'm sorry I'm not an expert.
That's totally fine. Maybe you need to release your expectations around being an expert in things before you can talk to people about it.
Probably.
What else would you like to release this week, Renee?
I would like to release the anxiety I have around taking time off and like not having anything to do. I think I've spoken about this before. I'm sure I've spoken about this before because it's something that I've struggled with for a long time. I was a very, very busy child. And that was almost like a point of pride for me growing up, that I was involved in a lot of things and that, you know, I had so much stuff going on and I was, you know, so busy because I was so committed to becoming a great dancer. It was bullshit, but whatever. That's how I felt at the time. And so it's been hard for me to let go of that concept that like of being validated by doing a lot of things.
Yeah. I mean, you are a manifesting generator, so.
Shows up in my human design chart. It shows up in my natal chart with all the fire energy. So it's not necessarily natural for me to just want to sit still for a long time.
Yep.
But also it's not necessarily healthy for me to work all the time. But because I have been juggling two jobs basically for the past couple of years, working all the time has been the default. So while I've had some time off over the summer, like yesterday I kind of finished up around 4:30 and then we didn't have our moon magic until 6:30. And then I was like, what do I do? Can I just sit here and watch TV? No, surely I can't. Do that. That's not right. I'm not allowed to do that. I totally am allowed to do that. I didn't do that. I like tried to read up more on human design and prep for the podcast and stuff like that. But I don't know. It just felt, it felt weird. So I would like to release that tension I have around not doing stuff.
Maybe you need to like make a little, do a little journaling, make a little list of things that you do for fun. That you can, like, you know, roll a dice. I know you like to take decisions like that away from yourself and put them in the hand of the universe. Make a list of fun things that you like to do that don't involve work. So it could be reading a book, could be, you know, if there's a particular craft. I know you're not crafty, but like for other people, if there's a craft you like to do, if it's watching an episode of a TV show, like put that on the list and then roll a little dice and go, right, well, I'm gonna do some yoga or I'm gonna whatever, like whatever it is that's on your list of things that you like to do.
That sounds exactly like something that I would do.
Yeah,
I ended up taking the dog to for a walk to the Southern Necropolis.
Nice.
She's talking about it now, apparently. Yeah, she's like, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, so even like take the dog a walk, go for a walk, do whatever things that you enjoy doing, put them on a list, roll a dice, pick one.
Yeah. So hoping to release that antsy feeling that I have with around free time, which is a new thing for me. So I'm learning to become a better human.
Yep.
What are you releasing this week?
So I've written down trying to rush things that need more time.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes in life there are things going on, things that you want to happen that are maybe not happening at the speed you want them to happen. And sometimes you try and speed that process up. You try and, you know, dip your toe in and see if you can make it move a little faster, mm-hmm. and it just doesn't really want to go any faster mm-hmm. at that point in time. That can feel really frustrating. It can feel, you know, demoralizing sometimes. It can feel like maybe the thing is never going to happen that you want to happen.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just need to trust in the pushback, like mm-hmm. that maybe now is just not the time.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, I'm a person who listens to their gut instinct. If it was something that was never going to happen, I think you potentially might know deep down
mm-hmm.
that it wasn't going to happen. So maybe you just need to, like, listen to the cues you're getting from the universe that maybe now is not the time for this.
Yeah, but also, that sucks.
It does, yeah. When you really want something, I think also sometimes you have to evaluate why you want something to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, is it something that you want to happen because it benefits you in some way? Is it something you want to happen, but maybe there's another person involved and they are not, like, in the space to be able to do that right now? Why are you trying to force this thing to happen? Mm-hmm. And do a little bit of self-reflection on that and see where you're at and just come. I think sometimes you need to come to peace with where you're at in that moment, as well as with whatever it is that's not happening. You kind of need to just, like, make your peace with it sometimes mm-hmm. and hold out hope that it will go the way you want it to in yeah. the future.
Because the alternative is to get, like, pissed off about it. And that yeah. energy never helps anything.
Yeah, Like, say, for example, and you want to, like, catch up with your friends and, you know, everyone's super busy because we're all busy human beings and we're all trying to do stuff all the time. And you could be, like, you could send a really nasty message to the group chat and be like, why are you guys never available? Like, it feels like you guys aren't making an effort, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. Is that going to solve the problem?
No.
It's probably going to make it worse.
Yeah.
So, like, it sucks, but you kind of need to, like, sometimes just be out, like, I'm putting it in the hands of the universe. It will happen when it's supposed to happen. We will get there in mm-hmm. the end. Whatever the outcome is the outcome that is supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you keep taking the action that feels right.
Yep.
And release the resistance because it just makes things harder.
Yeah, that's it. If you're constantly, you know, you're trying to, like, push the boulder uphill, like, wait for the ground to level itself out a little mm-hmm. bit so you can roll it along a little bit easier. Yeah. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to wait for the ground to level itself out a little bit so I can roll my boulder down the hill, hopefully. Anyway, what is making you feel awesome this week, Renee?
Okay, I think I said the same thing when I talked about this book. So it's not really accurate to say that it is making me feel awesome.
Yes.
But it is something that I think I'm really glad that it exists, and I'm really glad that I experienced it, and I want other people to experience it.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally watched the series of The Underground Railroad.
Okay, yeah. I think you talked about the book previously, didn't you?
I talked
yeah.
about the book by Colson Whitehead when I read that,
yes.
and that was right before the series was going to come out, but I didn't get around to watching the series until just now. I finished it the other day. It's directed by Barry Jenkins,
mm-hmm.
who also directed Moonlight
right.
and If Beale Street Could Talk. Both of those films are absolutely beautiful, and Barry Jenkins brings that same aesthetic to this story, but in no way does he shy away from the truth of the pain that was experienced, the slaves whose stories are being told.
Mm-hmm.
It strays from the book somewhat, but it's its own, like, complete narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the series makes perfect sense.
Yep.
There, you know, I noticed that it was different, but I was never like, oh, that's not how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
He just chose to tell this story in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's something that everybody should definitely watch. It's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. It absolutely should break your heart, but also it's just so exquisite to look at, the way that he works with light. And I don't know if he's used the same cinematographers on all of his projects, but particularly known, Barry Jenkins, for his ability to light black skin properly.
Mm-hmm.
And he just makes the subjects of his films beautiful and magnificent. The music is really interesting. Definitely check it out. Underground Railroad. It's available on Amazon Prime.
Sounds great. I'll need to check it out.
Yeah, do it. What's making you feel awesome this week?
You're excited for me to tell everybody this, aren't you?
I'm excited that you're going to tell all 7 billion people now.
Yes, this podcast will come out in 2 weeks' time, so it's fine. It should all be like on the road to
everyone
happening.
Who needs to know.
Yeah, we'll know by that point in time. So my exciting news this week, Renee, that I have been manifesting for a while now, is that I have gotten myself a shiny new job. And we were talking about gut instinct. You were there when I saw the advert for this job. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was an advert on Instagram, which I never usually use Instagram to look for jobs. There's a specific job website that I usually use because I work in the third sector and that's where all the third sector jobs are. This organization doesn't actually put their jobs on that third sector website. Mm-hmm. So I would never have seen this job otherwise. And when I read the job position and read about the job, I got this feeling in my body
mm-hmm.
that I was like, oh, that's the job. That's mm-hmm. the thing. And I think I've spoken on this podcast about the tarot reading that I had when I was in New Orleans
yep.
recently.
Yes, you did.
And part of it was about, I was asking about my job and, you know, things that were going on there and, you know, what direction I should move in and things like that. And I was told by the lady that a new opportunity would present itself to me and it would change everything. It mm-hmm. would change how I felt, what was going to happen, all that sort of stuff. And I was like, okay, I don't want to, not that I don't put faith in that, because, you know, I use the tarot for myself, but, you know, I don't want to, like, just be like, the right opportunity will present itself to me. I'm just going to sit back and do nothing.
Yeah.
Because that's not how manifesting works,
no.
Friends. You have to also put the effort in.
Mm-hmm. You have to look for a job.
And it kind of actually happened that way. It just, like, presented itself to me. And I was just like, this is the thing. Did the application, obviously did mm-hmm. the interview. And there was just lots of things that were kind of happening along the way that I was like, yeah, this is going to work out great. The interview's going to go really well. Like, when they sent through the question that I had to do the presentation on, I was like, this is going to, like, not to be big-headed, but this is going to be a total skoosh. I know exactly what I'm talking about. And the sense of, like, confidence it filled me with as well, that I know that I am the right person for this job, mm-hmm. was just, like, amazing. So they called me on Monday to offer me the job. I'm super excited. It was a big yes for me. There was no, well, I won't. And quite often when I've left jobs in the past, there's always been that kind of, like, pull to stay.
Mm-hmm.
This job, I'm not going to be working directly with young people anymore. That's always been something that I've been keen to do. But there's not, like, this is definitely a big yes for me. This is the next move mm-hmm. for me on the path. And, you know, talking about that, providing people with the tools and resources they need, that's very much what this job is going to mm-hmm. be about. So I'm really excited for this new opportunity. Things are going to be changing for me, changing for my family in really good ways. So yeah, I'm absolutely buzzing about it.
I'm so excited. I can't wait for people to start sending you congratulation messages once they've heard this, because
I know,
they'll
so
all
excited.
Be excited for you as well, because you've shared so much about, you know, trying to manage your emotions through a difficult situation. And now yeah. you have opened the door to the next right step for you, and you're just gonna shine.
Thank you. We talked about this last night. It feels like there's been a lot of negative things that have happened kind of this year. It feels like that wheel of fortune is turning mm-hmm. And we're moving into a really prosperous, abundant phase. Mm-hmm. And I am eternally grateful for the opportunities and eternally grateful for your support through it all.
Shut up.
I know you like to say that you have nothing to do with it, but that's a lie, guys. Renee supports me in so many ways. Emotionally, physically. I was going to say,
lucky we're recording remotely so that I don't punch you in the face.
You can't get me, bitch. She pre-reads all of my emails to make sure I don't start fights with people when I'm at work. Is this professional enough to send to my boss? So yeah, thank you from the bottom of my heart for all of your support.
You're welcome. I'm super proud of you.
Thank you.
guys, if you want to tell us what your energy type is or why we don't know anything about human design, because we're just figuring it out, you should get in touch. Send us an email. We're at awesomeon20@gmail.com. You will find the show notes for this episode with links to everything that we talked about, including the Human Design app, at awesomeon20.com/episode61. Definitely connect with us on Instagram, because we want to nerd out about human design with you. If you've not looked at your chart before, definitely get in touch when you're like, holy shit, they know everything about me. We want to hear about it. I'm at Renee_awesome120.
I'm at Louise_awesome120.
And then if you didn't get completely bored by me explaining the convoluted system of your human design chart and you made it all the way to the end, you definitely should just go ahead and push yourself a little bit more, bring up a little bit more energy to pull out your phone, open your podcast app, scroll on down to the stars, and click all five.
Take the energy that I have generated from being a generator and have given to you, dear listener, and give us 5 sparkly stars for this 5-star podcast. Please and thank you. Love you always. If you want to be even more awesome, then you can join us over on Patreon. We're at patreon.com/awesome120. And for as little as £1 a month, you can be inducted into our ICOA, the International Coven of Awesomeness. You will get a shout out on this awesome podcast. You'll have heard some of our shout outs in the past, and you'll be added to the ICOA Coven group chat on Instagram. If you want to be even more awesome, you can subscribe to one of the higher tiers. You'll get things like Moon Journal prompts, you'll get ad-free recipes, Patreon exclusive recipes, spells, rituals, you can join our Facebook lives, you can join our book club, which is super fun. You can get extended editions of the podcast. If you just want to come be part of the ICOA, hit us up on Patreon, patreon.com/awesomeon20.
Louise, I am so grateful for the energy that you have generated in my life.
Thank you, Renee. When I look at our charts together, I see that they, although we are different, I feel like we work together as a whole, and that's why we get on so well, and I love you so much.
Love you more.
Bye.
Bye.